This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight Now, we bring you a discussion on timely detection and prevention of thalassemia. The participants are Dr. Mukul Agarwal, Department of Hematology, AIIMS, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor.
Well, World Thalassemia Day has just gone by on the 8th of May. This year the theme was Empowering Lives, Embracing Progress, Equitable and Accessible Thalassemia to All. Thalassemia is a blood disorder resulting in abnormal hemoglobin. Well, for more on this, we are now joined by Dr. Mukul Agarwal from the Department of Hematology, All India Institute of Medical Sciences. Welcome, Dr. Mukul, to Akashvani Studios.
I extend my gratitude for the invitation and welcome all the listeners.
Dr. Saab, what is thalassemia? What are the major symptoms by which one can diagnose that, yes, this may be thalassemia?
So thalassemia is a genetic disorder which happens in children and young adults, and it's caused by production of abnormal red blood cells in the blood, so from the bone marrow. The symptoms are transfusion repair, the child becomes very pale and irritable, and they present with enlargement of their liver and spleen. So patient may have small amount of jaundice as well. This usually happens by 4 to 8 months of life, and transfusion requirements start to happen by 6 to 8 months of age. So thalassemia major is a bad disease to happen in such scenarios, and the diagnosis is made on the basis of these symptoms and a few blood tests, which include basic blood tests including hemoglobin, WBC platelets, and other hemoglobin parameters, as well as the diagnostic tests, which are HbA1c and hemoglobin electrophoresis.
You just talked about thalassemia major. We've also heard about thalassemia minor patients but living lives nearly normally. Could you throw some light on that? What is major and minor?
As I said, that this is a genetic disorder. So genetic disorders are caused when you carry a gene. So gene has two parts. So let's call them part A and B. When both parts are present in a person, it causes disease manifestation. And when only one part is there, it causes a trait or a minor kind of a condition. So for thalassemia trait, we don't call them patients as such. These are variations in population in which hemoglobin is slightly low and they carry a thalassemia gene. This does not manifest as any kind of problem to the patient, barring slightly low hemoglobin, which helps them to live a nearly normal life.
When we talk about it as a genetic disorder, how would we explain that? And what is the normal screening required? And is there or should there be some blood test required before a couple marries to rule out any thalassemia happening in future?
This is essential that thalassemia major occurs when both the parents are thalassemia trait. That is the only condition when the child can get thalassemia major. So testing for thalassemia trait is essential. You can diagnose thalassemia trait by knowing your HbA electrophoresis or a HbA1c test, in which you will have an increased amount of hemoglobin A2. Your red cell parameters will be deranged. Your doctor will be able to judge on the basis of these red cell parameters if you require any confirmatory test, that is by HbA1c. So diagnosis of thalassemia trait is based on this HbA1c and CBC parameters. Regarding thalassemia major, your clinical presentation, as I highlighted earlier, and the preliminary results from your red cell parameters will help your pediatrician to ask for HbA1c or electrophoresis test, which are diagnostic in this scenario. Many a times we get patients who have been transfused blood without these tests. In such a scenario, with the required clinical presentation and getting the parents tested for these thalassemia trait, this helps us list the diagnosis. Occasionally, when these things are not available, you can go for direct mutation testing in the patient to diagnose thalassemia major.
This is a theme is Empowering Lives, Embracing Progress, Equitable and Accessible Thalassemia. When we talk about access, do we in our country have labs which, because these tests would be, especially the ones which involve genetic tests, that would be a little sophisticated. Is it accessible to all or we still need to work on it?
As I said, that genetic tests are not required for diagnosis for majority of the patients. These genetic tests are available only at larger institutes and certain medical colleges. But the HbA1c test or electrophoresis test is more widely available. All the medical colleges across the country should have access to this test, and it is commercially easily available across many private labs. So this test is something which is very helpful in diagnosing thalassemia and sickle cell anemia kind of disorders. If we ask about the access to this test per se, is available across the major cities, and majority of the district hospital, and we should aim for diagnosis of thalassemia based on at least SPLC. Genetic testing or DNA testing is seldom required except in the peripartum period or in certain complicated cases where one of the parents is not available or the child has been repeatedly transfused.
When we talk about blood transfusion, this is a word which is often coming across when it comes to treatment or management. A, is there a cure for thalassemia now that the medical advancement has happened and we see a lot of it around the world? And secondly, can there be other complications because of blood transfusion?
Blood transfusion, it comes with its own baggage of complications. These patients require transfusions every 3 to 4 weeks. For entire life. This is not an easy task to achieve, although we can say about it, but for the thalassemia major patients, children and their parents, this becomes havoc on their lives. Getting the child transfused, getting the venous access for blood transfusion, it is a very difficult task. Plus, after around 10 to 20 transfusions, or when the child is around 1.5 to 2 years of age, each packet of blood gives a lot of iron to the body. This iron cannot be excreted from the body, and when excess of iron happens in this body, it causes damage to your liver, your heart, and your endocrine organs, including thyroid, pancreas, and otherwise. This can be very damaging. And after a certain amount of iron overload, we test it by ferritin test. After that, we need to excrete this iron by giving medicines. So certain oral and injectable medicines are available which are started, which should be started in these children after around 2 years of age to prevent excessive iron overload. This is supportive or with the care which the majority of patients of thalassemia major which they get in India. Unfortunately, even this is not very uniform across India as the transfusion requirements are not very easily met. These children are required to maintain a minimum hemoglobin of at least 9 gram per deciliter, which is very difficult to maintain in majority of the patients. Definitive curative therapy for thalassemia will be stem cell transplant or a bone marrow transplant. This facility is offered by specialized trained doctors, hematologists or transplant physicians. As per my knowledge, this facility is available in around 125 odd institutions across India, both government and private. And these doctors are able to do transplant for various other conditions, including thalassemia major. When we say about transplant, so transplant is a specialized procedure, comes with a known complication and can be curative in majority of the patient if performed before 10 years of age with a sibling donor and in a patient who is well chelated with controlled iron overload. Lastly, about when we say about advancement in thalassemia, so gene therapy, since thalassemia is a genetic disorder, gene therapy is coming of age, at least in the Western countries, and is approved in US and Europe, but at present it is prohibitively costly even there. There are certain trials of gene therapy which are to be started in some pockets or some institutes in India. Hopefully, when we have Indian patient trials coming out in the near future, the cost of gene therapy will come down and will be available to most of the patients of ours.
Dr. Mukul, when we talk about thalassemia as a disability, if we may, it has been listed amongst the 21 disabilities. Could you throw some light on that? And this was by an act in 2016, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, so somewhere around 2016-27, as per the Gazette of India, thalassemia came under one of the diseases under the Disability Act. So patients who are on chronic blood transfusion, regular blood transfusions, and with certain infection, their disability is graded by the trained doctors, and they can be provided with a disability certificate. This disability certificate can help these patients with their education and job prospects. So this is something which has come up over last decade and is helpful to thalassemia patients at large.
Any thalassemic patient or a thalassemic child means a tremendous amount of strain for the family. How important do you think the family support is for the child or the patient?
So when we say thalassemia as a disorder, so it comes as a major disorder which requires a lot of commitment from the patient himself, growing child during their childhood, during their adolescent period, and even during their adulthood, their parents, their siblings, their school teachers, and almost a lot of people from the hospital. They are pediatricians, hematologists, they are at the forefront of the thalassemia care. But a lot of other people, including their nursing specialists, genetic counselor, endocrinologists, liver specialists, cardiologists, endocrinologists, all these doctors and all these facilities are required for proper management of thalassemia patients. When I say that testing for thalassemia trait is important, so your labs play a very important part in this. And this is something which can be done even during pregnancy. So your fertility specialist, your gynecologist who are managing thalassemia carriers in pregnancy, they also play a very important role.
So it is important that the thalassemic families, they form support groups or become part of some support groups, especially on social media, to be able to help each other. Do you think that's happening?
Many, so the thalassemia care has been revolutionized and carried forward with the learned physicians, pediatricians, and many of these support groups across India. We, in Delhi itself, we have at least 3 to 4 organizations which I know of and collaborate with, and they are working well for the rights and the welfare of the thalassemia patients. These things are happening across India, and with a jointed effort of all these organizations, physicians, and common support, we are able to, enlist thalassemia as one of the disabilities and provide good opportunities for care of these patients. In fact, as we understand, there are a couple of other major support from the government, like the thalassemia patients, their parents are not required to donate blood for the care of their child, even though they can donate, but it is not mandatory for them, or the blood banks can't ask them to donate blood for their child. Secondly, there is a large corporate social responsibility, CSR responsibility program from Coal India, a government subsidiary organization, which provides up to 10 lakhs fund for transplant of these thalassemia children at around the 7 to 8 centers across India. There's a big scheme to support transplant programs for these children. This is happening since last around 6 years, and a lot of children, around 300, 400 children, have undergone transplant for thalassemia under this initiative.
Dr. Mukul, can we prevent thalassemia? Perhaps there are, are there any prenatal tests that can diagnose a prospective child who is in the fetal stage? Is that possible?
So, yes, for all diseases, including thalassemia as a genetic disease, best method is to prevention. Prevention is by knowing your thalassemia test. This can be just by widespread knowledge and acquiring status of your thalassemia carrier state. This can be done by HPLC test, by programs during the schools, colleges, or otherwise. And if you know your thalassemia status before marriage, this becomes essential to know your partner's thalassemia status as well. There is a condition in which both the partners are thalassemia trait. In that scenario, thalassemia testing can be done during pregnancy, during first 3 to 4 months of pregnancy, by prenatal diagnostic techniques at specialized centers only, which thalassemia testing can be done on the fetus, and the results are usually available between 1 to 2 weeks. And you can test for major mutation which can cause for thalassemia up to major sensitivity and specificity.
And Dr. Mukul, thanks to the media now, not many people know about thalassemia compared to how it was a few years ago. Do you think that we need to take some more steps, we need to create more awareness on this? And if yes, how, any suggestions from your side?
I do agree that awareness and knowledge about thalassemia is increasing, but so is our population. And the number of patients of thalassemia which we are still getting is very high. Highlights the need for screening for these patients, for the parents of these patients. So if the screening is done on time, before marriage, during their adolescence, during their childhood, during school, college, or any time before marriage, that will be very essential, and these carriers can make an informed choice of marrying another carrier or not. In such a scenario, you will not be passing the gene to the next generation, and this will help in preventing this major disorder to a large extent.
Thank you, Dr. Mukul Agarwal, for talking to us and enlightening us on this very important problem, very important disorder called thalassemia. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on timely detection and prevention of thalassemia. The participants were Dr. Mukul Agarwal, Department of Hematology, AIIMS, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 92890940044.